Welcome everybody to we're live.
We are live.
We were live about 20 minutes ago. Then we weren't live. Then we were live. Then we weren't live.
It's like we're zombies, you know.
This is not pre-recorded. This is really live.
There's no miming going on.
No
we're
miming
actually
whatsoever.
Doing it in the moment.
This is really special. Number one, Andy Wood in the house. He's back. He's bad. He's got two new courses, and one of them is mandolin, which I've just learned can be also referred to as Mando.
Yeah, Mando.
Okay. That's kind of a cool way of saying it, right?
Cool guy's own.
And then we've got, so we're doing bluegrass mandolin. We'll show that off first. And then we'll do 30 shapeshifter licks, you must know. So we'll tell them about shapeshifter lately. But please do us a favor. Chime in. Let us know where you're tuned in from so we can shout back at you. I love this. I got to read you this comment.
Yeah, please,
Edward
man.
Johns. Yeah. Been listening to Between the Truth and a Lie while you were offline and practicing some bluegrass licks, okay?
Awesome.
That's a perfect way to spend a little downtime.
I like it.
Before this live broadcast here from True Fire. So, mandolin, we were talking while we weren't live about, you know, how you were how old when you picked up the mandolin?
The rumors are around 5 or 6.
Okay. Yeah. And I asked you, well, why, what, you know, why the mandolin? And you said?
I said it fit.
You know?
It fit, you know. When you're, so my family, we didn't grow up with a lot of money or anything. My grandfather was a construction worker. Mm-hmm. Dad was a cop, you know, and mom worked front office. And you know, my granddad had an Alvarez mandolin, an old fiddle. And yeah. And that's a silver tone guitar, and that's what we had. So there was no multiple instruments. Find one, get the small scale. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really a thing in my house. I was like, so you just had the one that fit. So my cousin played fiddle.
Yeah.
I played mandolin. Got older. We both started playing enough guitar just to back each other up.
Yeah.
And then fate would have it. One day I heard Brent Mason's solo on Pick It Apart, New Nashville Cats, and I was like, well, I have to do that. And that's
how
where
old were you when you picked up the guitar, when you heard
electric
that
guitar? I was probably 17-ish, 16,
and 17. Just a year before, if I'm not mistaken, you won the Winfield, Kansas.
I came in second, yeah.
Yeah?
Came in second. The guy
at
that won it.
16 years old,
yeah, 16.
Right?
Yeah, the guy that won it was from Italy and didn't even play a mandolin. He played a lute. It was actually a fun moment and a fun memory because the judges were asking me if I wanted to, you know, contest it for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I was like, of course not. The guy was awesome. He played.
Contest it?
Yeah. Like
oh, because it wasn't a real
wasn't
mandolin.
Truly a mandolin. Yeah. And I said, of course not. That's fabulous.
That would be uncool,
classical.
Right?
Yeah. And it's like what he was playing wasn't even like grassy. You know,
right.
It was very classical. But it was a great moment.
Yeah.
And one of the things they ask you, this was always fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they ask you is, what kind of mandolin do you play? Right, mandolins are notoriously expensive. They're like violins. Like a Lloyd Lore can go for $80,000 to $150,000. Right, so a great mandolin like Lynn Dudenbossel's from East Tennessee, where I live, and he builds a great mandolin. They're around $20,000, you know, $25,000. And all I had was an $800 Kentucky. So when they asked me what kind of mandolin I played, you know, they put it next to your name. Mm-hmm. I said a Kentucky, and they all laughed. I didn't get the joke. I was too young and stupid to not get. And they're like, no, they thought I was being facetious,
really?
You know? And I was like, no, I got it in the case. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah, man. So it was a really, really funny moment. After that, I instead of taking out a loan for a car, I took out a loan for a mandolin.
Nice.
And I got a Flatbush from Denmark. And now I've got this this relationship with the guys over at Callings. And I think this mandolin
works well. Phenomenal makers.
Yeah,
of
they're in Austin.
Stringed instruments, I'd say, right?
Yeah, they do everything from Gibson inspired, you know, solid bodies to arch tops, hollow bodies, acoustics, dreadnoughts, mandolins. Yeah, great company.
So let's see. You came in second to a lute player. So, if, you know, technically I'd call that first as a mandolin player.
No.
Okay, but
I
can say
second.
That. You can't. All right.
Yeah.
And then you heard Brent Mason.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't too many years later. And this is your trivia question for today. And you answer this question. Not in the chat, but click the link. Answer this question. You'll be in a drawing for a $100 True Fire gift card. Because at age 22, Andy was crowned champion. No second place.
No second
no
place.
Players. Champion of this very prestigious guitar contest. You answer that correctly by clicking the link. We'll randomly pick one. Hey, you know what we're going to do? Since we were late today. I feel bad about that.
I do too.
We're going to give away $300 gift cards.
I love it. I endorse it.
Okay.
10 out of 10, baby.
All right. So three of you are going to win a $100 gift card, but don't put the answer in the chat. Let's dig in. Let's dig into the mandolin chord. This is the first True Fire Live thing we've done with mandolin. So,
which is cool. I'm glad to be that guy.
You are launching the voyage.
I'm glad to be that guy.
So tell us about how you approach this particular course. This is your first mandolin course for True Fire. So what did you come up with for us?
So I just had to take a moment and reflect and be like, well, I can't really teach in a way that I didn't learn. So I just took an inventory of how I learned to play, and it was just a string of fiddle tunes. So I was like, well, I'm just going to sit here. And I went through my phone in my notes section and just wrote down every fiddle tune that I could rattle off from memory. And I said, you know what? I'm going to break these down, teach the intricacies, right? Because fiddle tunes are they're all played with little variances. Mm-hmm. It's not like Thunderstruck, where Thunderstruck is...
Right.
And it's an exact thing that's played, and it's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, fiddle tunes all have these you know, variations, depending on if it's if you're even a Texas-style player versus an Appalachian-style player, things like that. So in the course, we break down what I consider, in my opinion, the Andy Wood melody of the tune. We do the chords.
Yeah.
We do a mandolin chop. We do an acoustic rhythm backing so you can play along. And then I start teaching... just concepts of well, you could do this, and you can do this, and this makes it have this kind of feel. And it was just the way that I learned to play, which was a lot more like learning to speak another language without using Rosetta Stone and actually just being around people that speak the language. Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's give them a taste. There are five tunes.
Yeah, five
Each
tunes.
Each tune comes with some very colorful background about the tune.
Yeah.
A performance, a breakdown, and a whole bunch of techniques and creative approaches and Andy Wood style mandolin.
I've even forgotten what I've taught, so this should be fun.
You know what? You are not what I would call a licks player. You're very, you know, in the moment, very improv. I've never heard you ever. Have I heard you play the same thing twice?
Oh, I have. We just need to dig around a little bit more.
All right. Well, we do have video. I'll reference this in the future.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about Red Haired and then play it for us.
Okay, the Red Haired Boy, it's one of the quintessential in the fiddle tune family, right? It's got that Irish real thing. There's no, like, to carbon date this song, I wouldn't have any idea. It's hundreds and hundreds of years old. And, you know, it was a European Irish thing. And when it started becoming a standard in bluegrass circles is when it really started making a form that we all kind of associate with as the form. Bluegrass and jazz overlap a little bit in that you play the melody over the form, then everybody solos, and then you come back and play the melody again. So it's kind of fun to look at a tune like Red Haired Boy, which is older than bluegrass and jazz both put together, and then see how it kind of evolved into things. This is a... AABB form tune. It's in the key of A. And I guess I'll just play the melody for you right now. You can hear how it goes.
How's that, man? Stage is yours.
Here we go. Red Haired Boy. I remember learning this on my granddad's porch, which is really awesome.
Sweet. So, teach us. You do a lot of lessons for each one of these. This is a pretty big course, right, Tommy? The mandolin.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say we're pushing 3 hours.
Okay. So, you know, we have a limited amount of time. We're going to go a little extra though, because we were a little late. Okay. But Teach us one thing from that chord.
Yeah, so one of my favorite parts about this tune is in, you know, it's got this cool dominant seventh thing. So that B section has this sound. And it really outlines the changes nicely. When you're playing against that A, you line up onto the flat seven. Mm-hmm. And when you go to that F sharp note, it ends up being the third of D. And then to the, which is the fifth of A.
Yeah.
Then just start on D, walk it all the way down. Walk it up to the flat seven. So in that one little bit of music, you get to navigate a couple of different chord changes mm-hmm. that I like. I like dominant sevens. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that's the redneck bluegrass guy in me, but like major sevens are all like...
a little too sweet, I know.
I like this guy. That's my dude.
Oh, so man. Yeah,
that's the red-haired boy moment that I like. And I like those little pull-off phrases.
And so those are your little embellishments, right? That's
I think
what you're bringing to your
performance. And I think it's that
tunes.
Thing that's just picked up from trying to be like that vernacular of mm-hmm. a Irish fiddle player, like a mm-hmm. fife and drum core. You always hear those, those kind of like
good point,
bouncy
man.
Little things, you know. And I think it's really, for me, when we talk about my brand and like that chameleon shape-shifting thing, it's mm-hmm. always about... There's only 12 notes. It's mm-hmm. learning to speak with a different accent, mm-hmm. you know, for each genre. And well, that's like the thing when I think of Irish, I always think of like that's always the thing.
Uh-huh. Let's do how about Angeline?
Angeline the Baker, yeah. And this one is I chose it because it's like the most straight ahead two chord. It can almost be a two chord fiddle tune. Mm-hmm. So it's in the key of D, and you can really give it couple of different flares, so let's just see what happens. I have no idea what I'm going to play.
Go for it. Sweet. A question for you, man. When you were coming up and learning mandolin and learning, you know, this type of music, were you taught it did you know what thirds and flat thirds?
Of course not. My granddad used to say the off note if it was anything other than a chord tone.
Uh-huh.
If we went to this, he's like, oh, that's that off chord. And I was like, well, mate, can an off chord be this one too?
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, yeah, that's the off chord too. I was like, well, what about that guy? He goes, no, that's the G.
Oh,
and he would just say, G's in D. I was like, I don't know. I didn't realize theory until I went to college.
Uh-huh.
University of Tennessee, went there a couple of years and learned what I was doing.
Yeah. But
by that point, I've been playing for so long, I'd already developed every bad habit that I was going to stick to.
But did you find that learning, you know, about harmony and theory helped your
Of course
playing?
It helps. Anything you can learn helps. What it helped me do more than anything, it didn't really generate as much new, you know, conceptual ideas as much as it did allow me to communicate with other players and transfer information.
Yeah, yeah.
So when a player did something I liked, he'd be like, okay, yeah, use the, you know, this is like augmented sound across mm-hmm. this, use this, flat five, whatever, you know. And I'd be like, or sharp five or whatever, whatever the interesting thing, as Grant P. would say, the off note, whatever that would be. I was just learning to communicate that. So it made it great to send information out verbally and then also receive it without having to just transcribe all the
time.
But
all of the, you're a prolific composer and, songwriter. All of those skills were kind of there. They weren't enhanced in any way because you already had a sense of harmony, or did it
of course
push
they were
you to different places?
Yeah, I mean, like things like a song like Truth and Lie would have been written by 15-year-old me.
Okay.
You know, I did write that on mandolin, which is fun. So all of those intervals is funny. Yeah. A lot of people hear that because the most popular version is on the electric guitar with the shredding. Maybe we'll play that later. I don't know. But
now you have to play it.
Its
later,
origin point was on this.
Was it really?
Yeah, because it's so easy to pick on this. Yeah. All of those stacked, those stacked fourths or whatever that just go across. They're a nightmare on that thing. You know, it's like the cross picking, and that is super tough. And on the mandolin, it's just like, oh, they're all right here. You know.
That's great. One. Let's do another one. Bury Me.
Yeah, I actually started the show with that. So let's do, Salt Creek.
I skipped Salt Creek,
Why don't we do that one? Set with Bury Me Beneath the Willow. Cool. I had no idea we were going to be called upon it. So here's Salt Creek, Let's just play it real fast and dumb. It's not that fast on the tutorial, and it doesn't have that many arpeggios.
Well, and plus which, as you know, we sync the tab to the video.
Yeah.
Slow it. You do perform it slower.
I do.
But, if they want, they can speed it up using the tools,
Kick that thing up a notch.
They can loop, like, the first, eight notes, which is what? Like, half a measure or 16 notes?
You go, get that one.
Loop that, slow it down to 50 beats per minute.
It'll be that.
So this is I'm interested in your opinion on this. Of course, a good rule of thumb is to slow anything you're learning down to a certain speed so you could really nail the timing. Is there such a thing as too slow?
Absolutely.
Or you're losing the rhythmic feel?
Yeah, especially in these tunes because they have such a... an organic feel in that eighth note rolling pattern. Yeah. You start to just automatically nod where the downbeat is, right? Uh-huh. That's yet the whole song, if you were to put it out on paper, would just be, the whole time.
Yeah.
But when you're really nailing the vibe of it, you start feeling that pulse. Also, it's really interesting in a lot of traditional bluegrass records. I was talking to Tommy about this yesterday. Man, like Kenny Baker, he would start a song off and it would be 5 or 10 BPM off from where it ended, both faster or slower. They didn't record those things to clicks, back in the 30s, 40s. Like there was no click track. So, but you never notice it.
Yeah.
And I still to this day, if I listen to Kenny Baker play Wheelhouse, I don't notice the time fluctuation. And it's because the whole band
moves
with
it. So let me ask you, when you're playing live, do you do the same thing? Might you start a tune slower or faster?
I have the worst tendency to rush. Uh-huh. I might as well be from Russia. Uh-huh. I just rush nonstop, dude. So I really have to like reel it in. I get excited and I just feel like I just want to play. So I have to really rely on good foundation, good drummer, good bass player.
But they'll come along with you, right?
Hopefully,
they don't leave you
hanging
out front, do they?
Hopefully, I go with them.
Okay.
Hopefully, my ears are on, and I'm not just playing.
And you're feeling yourself ahead, and
I want to play with the drummer and the bass player. And if it's a bluegrass environment, the interesting thing about a mandolin is I become a drummer, so I have to really lock in. Like if we were going to play rhythm to Salt Creek. Yeah. and I've got to really be that backbeat, you know, whereas the bass guy would be the kick drum.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of rhythm, you show a rhythm part on mandolin for each of these tunes as well, don't
I
you?
I do. And there's an overarching lesson at the beginning of the course that's just the fundamental on the bluegrass chop.
Yeah.
The variants being this.
Nice.
And this.
Nice.
And how they sound different, the way to approach the chop in and of itself.
So you give us a nice primer on how to approach the rhythm of these tunes.
Yeah, they're
just
like global rules to apply when you're playing bluegrass.
Yeah. Cool. Can we do one more? How about whiskey?
Yeah, sure.
Whiskey before breakfast. What's your philosophy on that?
I back it 100%. You swap that out for a bourbon specifically, and, you know, it's got my endorsement.
So let's review. We've got five tunes. You've got a big primer up front.
Yeah.
Every tune features kind of a backstory on the tune and where it came from, what it means to you. A rhythm lesson.
On the mandolin.
On the mandolin.
One on the guitar as well.
Oh, you did one on the guitar?
You know, here's funny. So I recorded these in the studio to do them, and I was like, I'll just do myself and chop, and if I move, I can just play to it. I'm not going to use a click. And I was like, you know what? Let's just see what acoustic guitar. I was like, let me just recut them with a click. And so I went in with a click. So it's played, you know, I could go in and did guitar too. So you get guitar, mandolin, and mandolins, three tracks.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you break it down. Of course,
break it
we
down.
Transcribe it. We've got the fancy video sync thing
Love it.
Happening. You know, it's a great course. I mean, it's a great course on so many levels. I didn't realize you guys did the guitar lessons, which makes this...
It was totally an audible at line of scrimmage.
A guitar-centric course, too, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Tommy, are we going to have audio tracks so that someone can play guitar along with Andy playing mando?
That is exactly the idea.
That's it.
What a great idea. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Good job on this, man. And thank you for bringing, you know, your mandolin chops. We talked about that last time. You know? So now let's pick up the other stringed instrument.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, getting set up, I'm going to do a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to start by telling you, you've got fans. And again, I have to thank everybody who, you know, we started a bit late. We had some technical issues. It's a live broadcast. Stuff happens, right?
Yeah,
it just
for sure.
happens. But thank you for hanging tough. Thank you for tuning in. And, you know, I should say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to Calgary, New Hampshire, Netherlands, Sweden, Savannah, Georgia, Michigan, Israel, McKinney, Rio de Janeiro.
Crazy.
You were sort of in that neck of the woods. I mean, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, I was Brazil. In Cartagena, Colombia, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to tell people about that. Spain, Chicago, Argentina, Margaret River, Western Australia. Ever been to Australia?
I've not. I'd love to go, though.
Number one, you'd love it, and they would absolutely, absolutely love you, okay? You have to get with Tommy Emmanuel and get him to bring you down there.
I would love that. Tommy, if you're listening, let's go.
We'll give him a shout, man. We've got Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Indiana, Arizona, Los Angeles, and Louisville. Poland just tuned in, as did Green Day.
Awesome. Right? Okay.
Pretty cool, right? So shout out to your fans, and we really appreciate you guys tuning in. A little bit more housekeeping here. There is a 25% promo code. It's Andy Live. That's Andy Live, one word. That's good for 25% off any of Andy's courses. That includes Shapeshifter, your first one, which we're now going to start to talk about this series.
Yeah.
So if you're guitar players, get ready just get ready. Buckle up is all I can say. And then,
unbuckle, live on the edge.
Yep. And then you did the second edition of Shapeshifter Creative Applications.
Right? Yeah, that was fun.
And then now we're going to show off the third in the series, 30 Shapeshifter Licks You Must Know.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, I'll do this for you because you're not a licks player. Okay. I know you probably don't remember exactly what you did on these 30 licks.
You got that
licks.
Right.
Okay. So here's a disclaimer, okay? You're going to have access. You're really going to get double bang for your buck here because Andy will probably play a little bit of a different lick on the ones we're doing examples for. But would you do me a favor? And I loved when you first came in and brought in this whole shape-shifting concept. Define that for us.
Yeah, it was a clever term that I don't think I coined. I think one of you guys did. I just came in and was like, look, my music and my love for music is all over the board. Mm-hmm. I love things from Pavarotti. I love things from Bela Fleck. Mm-hmm. And I love things from Van Halen, right? So I was like, well, where do I fit in mm-hmm. an artist roster as large as uh-huh. yours? And so the only thing I thought of was like a way to take the things that we've all played as guitarists, uh-huh. right? So like the tried and true. Right, you got that little favorite little box, right? Mm-hmm. How do you make that sound like a country guy? How do you sound like a blues guy? How do you sound like a rock guy? And all you're doing is staying within the same, you know, context. Like again, there's only 12 notes. It's right. it's the way you play. That changes that from right. It's still A, you know what I mean? Well,
and remember, man, we were so excited when you brought that to us because we're absolutely, you know, we talked about this at great length. You know, if there's a paradigm happening in the music business, you don't just go out and play blues only or funk only or rock only. It's all getting kind of shape shifted together, right?
I mean, that's what's happening with the internet.
Right.
We're all just becoming...
Love it.
Which I like. I mean, I'd hate to think if somebody said, Andy, we want to hire you to come play a show. You can only play one genre. Right. I'd be like, what? what do you mean?
Right, exactly. You know? And, man, you're one of the guys really leading the charge. And I have to tell you, some shout-outs. Number one, Jason Lachlan, another True Fire artist,
yeah,
tuned
right
in. Hey, Jason, thanks for jumping on this thing. Also, Bruce Foreman, Scott Henderson, and Troy McCubin enjoying Andy Killen. Okay.
Oh, man, Scott, dude.
Jeff Booth from Jam Play.
Love Jeff.
Our brothers in this thing now,
yeah,
which
yeah,
we're
right.
so excited about. So let's do some shape shifting.
Cool.
How about, Truth and a Lie?
Yeah. So that's what I said. It was written on mandolin. So let's just play it on electric guitar.
Okay.
We got a track for this. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Right. Crazy, man. So I'll read you a couple of comments, right? Let's see. So much Glenn Goldbeck music said, so much talent. Didn't realize he was an incredible mandolin player. No surprise. Cheers from Northern Virginia.
Oh, that's awesome.
You've got a lot of fans on here, by the way.
That's awesome.
Here's a quick question. Tommy, you have to answer this. David Dare Parker capturing Andy sounds beautifully. What mics are we using?
You want to tell Andy?
I'm not using a mic today.
He's not using a mic
We're
today.
Using a Fractal AX8. I took this to Columbia with me, and it just sounded great. So,
tell them quickly about the Columbia gig.
Yeah, okay? So I was invited
You're just
to play.
You came from there to here, right?
Yeah, I was invited to play in Cartagena at the International Guitar Festival down there. It's really, really a cool festival. A lot of great players played. I think Mike Dawes played it last year, fabulous acoustic player. Not really sure who all's played it over the course of its existence, but they invited me to come down, and I really only had one stipulation. I was like, yeah, I want to bring my band. Like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And so I have this great banjo player and fiddle player, Matt Menifee and Eli Bishop, respectively. And a lot of those people have never even seen banjo down there. So when they see a guy just shredding one, they're like, you know. So it was really cool. Ben Eller, internet's favorite kid, Ben Eller, and Andy Campbell went down, and we all had a blast and got to play. And obviously, you know, I'm more of an amp pedal guy. But flying to another country and having no idea what anything's going to be, I just trusted the guys at Fractal and took this AX8 and just got a really cool sound. And the basic tone is just there's a Marshall dry. Not really that gainy. A little stereo delay. Bounces back and forth. That's cool. A little verb to sound like in a room. That's cool. And the only thing I was doing was stepping on a compressor block. Overdrive blocks a little smoother. But in general, you know, it's just, I like a simple sound.
Beautiful, man. Did you were playing, maybe you was asking about the mandolin. Were you miking the mandolin?
It's two Shure mics right here. They are the KSM 137s.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go. It was probably about the mandolin.
Maybe so, yeah.
So, yeah, my... Allie, who moderates this, says, yes, Brad, my question was about the mandolin, by
oh, cool.
the way.
Oh, cool, yeah. Well, hey, never mind. Now you got a fractal. Okay. Now you got a fractal.
I let
answer.
You go with it, though. It was very interesting nonetheless. Let's do another one. Let's do Reach. Show them Reach.
Yeah, so like maybe we just give them a taste of some of the licks that they could learn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to play the whole tune or whatever. No, Tommy, no, do you have that track pulled up?
No.
Yeah, so over the course of this, I just wanted to show not just like fancy licks, like expensive licks, but also how to kind of manipulate some bends to get some cool stuff.
Do some of that. That's a great approach.
Yeah, so maybe we just play a couple of those. Pull up that track, we'll play one. Yeah, maybe something like... Actually, we'll do it and tune. Pause real quick. Let me tune that B string. Yeah, let's get that thing back in tune. Okay, now roll the track. This should be better. Yeah. Maybe a lick like this will be on there. Oh man, this B string is killing me. I'm so sorry. I keep knocking it out. There would be that same lick again. Be a lick based around a 9. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you make a good point, and I like how you're demonstrating that. We'll do that with the next couple of things. So, again, you know, you're not a licks player. It's kind of hard to do a 30 licks course, but the way you did it still passes on this incredible vocabulary, you know, and a shape-shifting vocabulary. So you can take any of these and shape-shift them, especially if you picked up the first two courses.
Yeah, right? I mean, like a tune like that would you know, if you're playing on the weekend with, I don't know, like something like Turn the Page or something, yeah, you know, yeah, you can still use a lot of those same kind of licks in there, like... You know,
yeah,
that's a simple idea. It's like just expanding arpeggios, walking up. So that's just taking that same idea and just taking it through three octaves is kind of like a way a piano player would just play the beautiful, same exact thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the important thing for me is not to be like, hey, put your fingers here in this order.
That's right.
It's more about to see the fretboard and yeah, see it unlock for yourself, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. That and you know, that's very characteristic of all of your lessons across all of your courses. You know, you are very knowledgeable theoretically and harmonically speaking, but you present this information in a very accessible way. And look, you know, even when you put it into high gear, that's why we have the slowdown technology.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because there's some beautiful, beautiful lines in those fast runs as well. But there's a lot of material that most of us will be able to access right away and start using. But it's your advice on how to, you know, embellish it, twist it a little bit, make it a little more rocky, make it a little more bluesy. That's the gold in all of your courses, man. All
yeah, it's like I'm trying to basically think of it like if a chef has to prepare a steak three times a week, mm-hmm, maybe one of them's got a chimichurri, maybe one of them's more of a teriyaki. It's like I just want to think of a simple idea like how could that be in a different format? Maybe it's – or maybe it's – beautiful. It's the same thing three or four different ways.
Right.
You're getting more mileage out of it. You know what I mean?
I love the steak analogy. Actually, I'm getting hungry now.
We yeah,
just
right?
had barbecue. Let's do, can we roll the track to Smoke Wagon and show yeah, us a couple of things off
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just take the top of Smoke Wagon. Instead of playing the head of the tune, I'll just play a couple of licks that we kind of talked about.
Cool.
There were some ideas, rather, some concepts. Like a lick like this, like a nice little Brent Mason style double stop, right? Or you could take that same pentatonic idea after let the turnaround happen, right? Like, I'm a big fan of using that same area to do a different type of vibe, right? So now it goes into the B section. This is the actual part of the song that has too many changes. Right? Yeah, if you've got my album, Junktown, you can kind of hear how that works. But, like, to talk about the shape-shifting, the steak analogy, right? If you just take that old familiar pentatonic box, you know, a rock guy, it's not that far away from
right.
You know, just simple ideas like over those country vibes, taking a root to a flat seven, root to flat seven. And if you're a rock player and you think about that root to flat seven thing, you could do it in pentatonics almost, or you could, let me think about how I would put that out within the same kind of idea. If we were trying to play you know, a rock thing and it wasn't swinging, maybe it'd be, that's how I'd use like a country thing over a, like a kind of rock vibe, you know, and just take something that's redneck and put it in a different spot and it gives it a completely different vibe. Same way you could take, like a typical rock ascending thing. And you could put that over that swing groove. Be like kind of a way to sneak a rock lick into the country thing. Or you could do it straight. And the way you wrap things up on the end of licks is really what decides if it's rock or not. Mm-hmm. Like versus, you know, it's like right. The way you wrap something together seems to be a way you can sneak
shape,
your
shift.
Yeah, sneak the different styles and genres.
This is,
into
you know, so this 30 licks course is the vocabulary course that goes along with the first course, which really kind of gets under the hood or reveals your whole approach to this shape-shifting approach to playing. Creative applications, you came back and showed now how to be more creative with some of those techniques and approaches. And here's the vocabulary. What more could anybody ask for?
Yeah, that previous class was all
a
about the
songwriting course,
story.
I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, taking it to the mandolin course. But yeah,
do you want to answer a couple of questions?
I'd love to, man.
And before we do that, I'm going to give you the, you know, at eight, this is the trivia question. We're giving away three of these $100 gift cards because we were a little tardy to the party. At age 22, if they can tell us what prestigious guitar contest you were the champion of, they can win one of those three cards.
Love it.
Click on the link underneath the video. Answer it offline, not here. And we'll pull that in a few minutes. And listen, while you're underneath the video, while you're, you know, you've got your cursor right over there, there's a thumbs up. How about spreading love, showing your love? Just click that little thumbs up right there, and that'll help, you know, kind of expand the horizon of folks who you think need to tune in to what you do. And I think everybody does, myself, of course. I'm a little biased, I'll admit that. Also, underneath the video is the promo code, AndyLive, 25% off all four of your courses, including the three that are now on pre-order, including those two that we're showing today. Question for you.
Love it.
Edward Johns, question for Andy. I'm planning on using his mandolin course and applying it to my tele playing.
Great.
I read music. Any tips on adapting mandolin licks to guitar?
I mean, that's
what
the story of my life.
What a perfect question for you.
That's the story of my life. So, like, when I first started playing electric guitar, I was really into guys like Steve Morse because he would play licks that were very familiar. Like, that might as well be on that thing, other than the one bend. So it's like things like cross-picking, the extended intervals, right, of those intervals are a little bit far on guitar, especially when you get down in this range. Or like something like, those like, on mandolin, they lay out so easy. Mm. And on guitar, they don't. So, you know, as far as tips, it's going to be a right-hand thing. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to play through an arpeggio like this. Or like, that's very mandolin-esque. Mm-hmm. You know, but on guitar, it's difficult because if you look, you have two notes.
Yeah.
Inside picking one note. Yeah. Outside picking. Outside picking. Inside picking.
Yeah.
So the picking direction keeps changing.
Yeah.
So you have to be used to getting through on both directions of the or right.
Great answer. Edward, put that to work, man. Just a guitar player asks, how many hours do you practice each day to maintain your flat picking speed, both on electric and acoustic and mandolin? And what would you suggest others to practice to develop their technique?
I hate to sound like a cliche, but I don't practice. I just play. Mm. I just pick up the guitar and play every day. Even while you're talking, I'm over here just kind of like silently noodling. It's like the worst habit. Stop, it's like I can't. You can't. It's like, God, there's an instrument in this room and nobody's playing it. Please do something. So, yeah, I mean, my thing is just have fun. If you're getting burnt out on something, find something else in the instrument that gets good to you. And as far as practice, you know, just just try not to pile on tons of gain and compression, because you can get lazy and start sneaking in more pull-offs and hammer-ons. And if you're truly trying to practice your picking, you got to pick all the notes.
Well, that ties into this question from Guitar Wink. How much has mandolin playing, you kind of answered that, affected your guitar playing? But all Jay Dougherty also asks, how do you recommend as a way to pick up picking speed to play fast licks? Do you start slow with a metronome? Is that
how, so
you know, and pick up slowly, or is there another way?
Great question.
Is there a shortcut? That's what we want to know.
Great question. Okay. Love this question, because I really love this answer. When you are working on something, make sure you've got the notes right. Like, you've got it under your fingers, right? Let's just take one of these Bonamassa-esque. Take that kind of thing. At some point, the mechanics, I can even feel it. You can see it in my hand when I'm playing a light tempo. It changes completely. When I play it up to speed, there's a completely different mechanic. So where am I going with this, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm going is, at some point, you have to practice it fast and fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to delete whatever didn't work and made it feel bad, and you have to try again at tempo. You can't just brute force your tempo, and I don't believe you can move things up in 5 BPM increments and end up at the end, because the mechanics are so different, right? The mechanic here is completely different than this mechanic. That's completely different than the hands moving a lot more at the slower tempo.
Man, what a great answer, because that the cliche answer to that is start at a slow BPM.
That just doesn't work, man.
Just dig in.
I'll just say it doesn't work.
Okay, there you go.
That's my opinion. I think you really have to. It's like riding a bike. Yeah. You can look at somebody ride a bike, but until your body feels that, you're never going to know, right? And a bike is a great example, because everyone can see how it works,
right?
But until you get on it and go, you got to memorize that feeling. Just like you got to memorize the feeling on the guitar when you're playing fast and it's working. I know what that feeling is, and I can recall it.
That's a great answer. Great insight, man. Cool. Couple of quick shout-outs. Tim Lurch in the house. Do you know Tim by any chance?
Tim is the best. If you have questions on theory, harmony, anything like that,
he's
the guy's
amazing.
Brilliant player.
He was just in, I don't know, Tommy, a month ago or so, 6 weeks ago.
Tim, you're the man. You are the man.
So, you know, we've got one in the can with Tim, and it'll be coming out shortly. Also, we have Marco Carew in the house from the Netherlands, also a True Fire artist. Marco, thanks for tuning in as well. Let's do this, man. How about we roll Flooded Mine and just show us some of the types of moves?
Lines. Let's just roll a little bit of that. There's some really cool slide playing. Tommy, could you cue that up just over the vamp, the solo vamp, where it's like... Yeah, that vamp at the towards the middle of it, to where I can just have one chord without the song doing its thing.
Sure, man. Give it a shot.
Yeah. See if it gets me close. Talk about some of that faux slide stuff, you know. Yeah. Farther on into the song. I think it's after this. Yeah, right in here. So obviously I'm a big fan, and can we get a little more track volume? I'm a big fan of slide players, even though I don't play slide. So this was a way of like stealing some of those ideas. One, two, three, four. That Like that's like the ultimate Statesboro lick, right? But typically you play that with the slide on. And then another one might be those types of licks, you know, that I definitely stole from those guys. So all of those types of vibes we talk about in the 30 licks. I actually choose three or four of those things, mm-hmm. and we go into depth about them and talk about the details just on when you're doing this faux slide thing, not just playing a note like a rock guy. Right, even if that's the bends and you've got the bends right, there's all the tricks that slides guys use. They're constantly muting, and they all do this thing on the front of a note. So we get into some of that in the chorus. It's a lot of fun. I love that stuff.
So, you know, those were just a few samples of the type of, you know, lines, approaches, and techniques that Andy presents in this 30 Licks course. What would you recommend? I mean, straight up. Do you think somebody should pick up 30 Licks first and then maybe go back to the first edition? Or
I think honestly, the way that I think and the way that I teach and the way they put things together, I think you can go either way because they both have so much in common mm-hmm. from a conceptual standpoint. Mm-hmm. Because, again, my concept isn't, okay, kids, it's root five, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's like, because really harmony is one of those things that when you're talking about tone and how you're playing a style, mm-hmm. the harmony can be like fifth to minor third, or it could be seventh to fifth. Either way, the technique and the sound and the tone mm-hmm. is dictating that that's a certain genre versus if we have another genre. In both formats, I'm playing minor pentatonic versus country guy. Yeah. It's all the same harmony, right? Uh-huh. So it's like, to me, when you're thinking about which way to go, I'm not teaching you as in, okay, when a 2-5-1 happens, play this exact order of mm-hmm. notes. I'm trying to give you recipes and ways to think about the notes that you're playing, mm-hmm. right? And say, okay, if you start on a 5, cool. If you start on a root, cool. If you start on third, cool. Yeah. But just give you different ways to approach things that you already really kind of know.
That's right.
From a harmonic standpoint.
You know, and that's been a theme across all the courses is you already know most of the notes and most of the scales are arpeggios. You just show us how to, well, shapeshift with
most that. People don't take advantage of the knowledge that they already have. It's funny, a guy can play incredible lines over like Whipping Post, for example, mm-hmm. but immediately over, you know, Summertime, that's a jazz standard in A minor. They're like, I don't know what to play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, how much? There's 85-90% of the harmony is shared.
Yeah.
You know, you're just not speaking with the right accent. You know what I mean?
That's great. You know? There's a great example of why students love your courses. You talk in and express yourself in a way that we can immediately, you know, the steak analogy, the accent analogy, while you know the, you know, theoretical or, you know, the technical terms, you have a great way of expressing yourself so that we get what you're saying. Tell us about the guitars.
Yeah, this is my signature model, Sir. From 30 feet, it just looks like the working man's Telecaster, but there was a lot of things that I wanted hot rodded up from traditional Leo style guitar. John Sir and I worked to develop, you know, this heel joint because typical Sirs have a big bulky plate. This is actually, it's upside down right now, but it's asymmetrical. So the hand sits nice and comfy. Even if you're playing an E, you're not touching the back of the that never touches you. Mm-hmm. Small details. It has 24 frets. That's fun for kid licks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're shredding around this kind of area, and you're that guy, it's like, oh yeah, I've got 24 frets. I'm cool. Uh-huh. The big thing there was like making sure that the neck pickup still sounded right, so it goes all the way against the fretboard. Uh-huh. It, you know, some guitars have more pick guard showing in between, but this still sounds like. It still sounds like a proper neck pickup. Yeah. The signature pickups that we worked on together. Cut out on the ashtray, I think there's something tonally to this style of bridge, mm-hmm. but I hate the way it feels for when I'm doing like. I don't like, you know, having the tray there. So they cut that out. 16 inch radius, baked maple, swamp ash, and the finish is cool. You know, I just have them like hand torch the outer layer of skin off of the ash just to where you can feel the grain.
Nice gauge strings you normally
use? I use nines. Yeah. I used 11s most of my life, and I switched because I like the tone of nines. They're real wiry. Even with a bassy, chuggy kind of... I just love that tone. And like they're slinky when you're doing... those kind of lines. So, yeah, I play nines right now.
Now, there's a new signature model coming out soon, right?
Yeah, it's a new color that we're doing. I'm going next week to Guitar Shop in Denver. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it. I can tell you it will be like a creamsicle. It will be orange and white. So we've got new colors.
I guess we could say heard it here first.
Yeah, I guess we just did. Yeah, so
we can redact that.
I don't know how much about the store, the specific dealer that I can disclose, but it will be a dealer specific item. Mm-hmm. And when the dealer announces who they are, the only way to get that color will be through that dealer, which will be really cool.
And what else you got going on? What album are you touring?
I've been touring the new album Junktown, and we have a big show in Anaheim that I haven't announced, but we're going to announce next week. It's going to be super rad. It'll be during NAMM. It will be the Wednesday before NAMM starts, and it will be in Anaheim. And tune in to all of my channels. Maybe even True Fire will do a shout out when we announce the concert. And absolutely, it is a lineup of lineups. If you have been to NAMM and seen my show in the previous years, we've had Andy Timmons, Paul Gilbert, Mark Letary. So this lineup this year is equally as devastating. So we're really excited to announce that next week.
Very cool. And so your website, andywood.com?
andywoodmusic.com. If you go there right now, it's got a under construction sign on it. We're revamping everything. What I'm doing is providing a new central hub to get places like True Fire, Instagram, Face, everything's going to feed into one area. Online store will connect you directly to the True Fire shopping carts and things like that. Mm-hmm. I actually brought in a guy from California to just revamp everything, give it a new, not just a fresh coat of paint, but a brand new transmission and engine. So,
yeah, and if you just favorite Andy Wood on True Fire, we do a pretty good job of keeping you posted on everything that he's got going on. And we're just, you know, incredibly excited to be working with you, number one. But, you know, the stuff that you bring in here is just, you know, very, very well received, as you know.
Killer, man.
And, you know, you're bringing something really new, really fresh, and something very accessible that, you know, whatever style we play, you give us something that we can, you know, take to the jam or take to the gig. And thank you for that.
Awesome, man.
How about you play us out with Junktown?
I'd love to, man. The title track in the new record. This is the song that I've been touring, the album I've been touring, and you can, you know, check me out on all social medias, Instagrams, Twitters, all that good stuff. This song is why I like nines on my guitar. That's really the truth.